You're going to have to protect me.
Dennis is doing a wonderful job.
Representative Thiessen, since I haven't heard any questions on yours, and we're just going to move it for possible inclusion later in an omnibus bill, why don't you present, and we don't even have a quorum yet, but why don't you present, and then you won't have to. From what I've understood about your bill, it'll be very highly likely going to the omnibus, so I don't think we'd have to have you back, and you can...
Before Representative Thiessen.
Okay. Representative Coles.
Mr. Chairman, you're referring to an omnibus bill, and can you give us a little bit of an idea as to what you're talking about? I mean, in the 4 years I've been here, bills tended to move out of what was then the Civil Law Committee on their own, and now we're talking about an omnibus bill, and I guess just a little insight into kind of what you're thinking would be helpful.
Yes, Representative Coles, there's thoughts of a few different omnibus bills in here, and it would depend on such as a family law bill, a landlord-tenant bill, a cause of action on consumers bills, different types of omnibus bills. There's a data practices omnibus. And then on the other side, on the criminal side, there'll be two omnibus bills, one for criminal that doesn't affect the Finance Committee, and then another one from the Finance Committee. So there'll be several ones like that. And in fact, we have, and then as soon as we get done with this, then we can go to, did he leave now? Representative De La Forest had a bill, which
I think he just stepped outside into the hall.
Is he here? Because
yes.
Apparently there's quite a few people interested in him. So if we can get started, get yours done quickly, and then we can get to that bill. So Representative Thiessen, do you want to just, I'll move the bill for probable inclusion in an omnibus bill then, and just go ahead and make your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this can go quickly. This is amending our personal jurisdiction statute in Minnesota. Basically, in terms of personal jurisdiction, what the analysis is you look to the statute first, and if it meets the statute, you look to the constitutional due process considerations. But Minnesota courts have basically said that the long-arm statute is the same as the constitutional standard, so there's really kind of one analysis that we do. So if it meets the constitutional due process standard, you have personal jurisdiction in Minnesota, with one exception, or maybe two exceptions, and that is for cases of defamation and invasion of privacy. And what that means is that if you are a Minnesota resident and someone in another state issues a defamatory statement about you that injures you in Minnesota, and you are here in Minnesota because that's where your reputation is, that's what's injured in a defamation action or an invasion of privacy action, you can't sue that person in Minnesota. You have to go to their state to sue them. And what this legislation is doing is taking that kind of exception out and just falling back to the constitutional standard. The reason it was put in back in 1978, there's a little bit of legislative history in it. There was a concern by one member, the person who sponsored the amendment, that said, you know, someone is in Maryland and mails a letter to Minnesota, is that a sufficient contact to drag them all the way to Minnesota? The Constitution deals with that question. It deals with issues of fairness. And so we already have that. This is kind of this language is kind of a hammer when we can use a much more nuanced thing. It captures a lot more cases, especially with the rise of the Internet and the way communications can move so much more quickly and so much farther, faster. I think that we should just eliminate this hard exception, let the constitutional analysis go forward, which does consider things like, is it fair to drag someone from Maryland to Minnesota, and proceed from there. And I would note that in the last decision to address this, the Court of Appeals actually invited the legislature to revisit this issue. You know, their hands were tied because of the statutory language, but they said the legislature may well wish to reconsider the statute in light of the phenomenon and power of the Internet. So that is why I'm here.
Representative Thiessen, I just have so basically it would, then the courts would kind of decide on a comity issue kind of basis?
Right, comity and fair, you know, international shoe for the lawyers here and all those kind of doctrines.
One other question I had, this doesn't in any way affect any agreements of reciprocity or who can sue where or anything, does it?
Not to my understanding, Mr. Chair, and that was not the reason it was put in if you look at the legislative history.
Okay, and I just had, it would also be like if the National Enquirer defamed the speaker or the governor or something, they could bring the suit here instead of wherever that is.
Right, and they may be able to anyway because the National Enquirer does business here.
Oh, okay.
But there might be other examples that would fit.
And we don't yet have a fiscal note either, but we'll take that under consideration later. It'd be pretty minimal. I would think we wouldn't have too many cases in the system based on this.
Right. Yes, yeah, hard to predict.
Okay. We actually... Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Coles.
Thanks, Chairman. That was actually my question. Representative Thiessen, I think I support what you're doing, but I'm just curious... why do we need to do this? Are there situations that you're aware of where this is preventing Minnesota citizens from from being able to avail themselves of the courts here in Minnesota?
Mr. Chair,
I'm sorry, Representative
Cole. I know there's been 4 published cases in the courts of appeals where that has happened. Now, how many more are there?
Yeah.
That didn't rise to the level of the Court of Appeals.
Okay.
And in addition, if you actually read the statute, they may never get to court because because you look at the statute and it's fairly clear on its face.
Representative Coles?
Thank you, Representative Thiessen. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I guess I would just note, Mr. Chair, that again, I think this is probably the right policy, and I suspect I'm going to support it. But, I mean, if we have 4 published cases in the Court of Appeals, I think Representative Thiessen's observation is right. There's probably a lot of cases that aren't even being brought. And so your point about fiscal considerations, I think, is well taken, and I look forward to a further discussion with you and with Representative Thiessen about that on this bill and others like it. I think we need to make sure that we're not, creating a burden, and again, a bill like this, you're probably right. It's probably not that many cases, but nonetheless, there is going to be an impact if we're bringing more lawsuits, if individuals are bringing more lawsuits here in Minnesota. We got judge time, we got court time tied up. Even if the cases don't ultimately go to trial, there's still cost to the system. So I appreciate you noting that, and I think you got a good bill from a policy perspective. I look forward to
Representative Coles. Wu, I, and Representative Thiessen are all attorneys, so we know how attorneys can figure out ways to bring cases. then the motion is just to lay it over for probable inclusion in the omnibus bill, and we'll have more fiscal notes and everything by that time. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Next, Joe. Representative Hawes got it worked out yet? Representative Hawes, is yours worked out with any opposition yet, or do you know of any?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We do have some opposition. I don't know if I have a testifier here that is totally for my bill, but I think I got my feet placed firmly on both sides of this issue.
Well, maybe if there's an issue on that, I'd like to take the other bill first.
You certainly welcome to, but I did enjoy visiting for a short period of time.
I'm sorry, Representative Hawes. I thought I had heard that you had the only person I had heard had any issue had, I thought, worked it out with you, but apparently not quite.
We have a compromise, and that's defined. I have everybody liking it equally, disliking it equally, rather.
Well, if it would take, is that something you can just present and there isn't going to be opposition or amendments? Does anybody know amendments to this? So we can let...
We should be able to dispose of in about 2 minutes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Foswell, why don't we just go ahead and take yours very quick explanation, and I think Representative Coles might have an amendment. He can explain it very quickly, and then we can vote on it.
Thank you very much. Would you like me to...
I'll move the bill. And it would go to... I believe it will have to go to Representative Paymar's committee. I'll move it for the passage. And yes, sir.
I would ask for is the direction because of finance, because this is actually taking money in and not expending?
I asked a long-time committee chair last night because we didn't have a fiscal note, and who's been here decades, And he said even though there's, if it's a positive, there's also a fiscal impact, and so that we are supposed to have a fiscal note.
Thank you. That's your
and right. If there's a problem with that, we can just reverse the... This happens many times. Things are sent to the wrong committee. Representative Haas,
thank you,
go ahead.
Just quickly, on all levels of government that I have worked with, and that is quite a few, fees are really, really tricky. Because fees are never wanted to be approached when everything's running well. And then when they're not, they want to grab a whole bunch and throw them in the hole to fill it up. And so when you have systems that correct fees in accordance to your philosophy of what that fee should be used and how much should be to the user or the misuser and how much should be to the taxpayer, mm-hmm. and you put bills through those processes, it works a lot better, whether it be in a recreation department or in the county or wherever it is. The fee that we're talking about today was established in 1997, and it wasn't adequate at that time, and that's a booking fee. And I'm asking to raise that fee for booking and confinement and just booking and release to $25. If you look in my area, in the three-county area of Stearns, Sherburn, and Benton, the booking costs range from $35 to $55. In Minneapolis and Hennepin County, Minneapolis is paying Hennepin County a booking fee of $75. Now, why is this important? Is because when that fee isn't in balance, the taxpayer brings in their dollars and makes things balance. And so then you start expending tax dollars where you possibly should be charging a more appropriate fee, whether it's a user fee or a misuser fee. So in the case of Minneapolis, as I noticed the other day, people were testifying and they said, we would surely like to have more policemen on the street. This is one way to do that, by spending your tax dollars for people on the street and not reimbursing a person that can afford to pay the booking fee. Now, college tuition has gone up since 1997 by what, 70%, 80%? This fee has not gone up at all. We have with me today a Chief Deputy of Bellows who is an expert in the jail process in booking fees as well as the whole relationship of fees to taxes in far as jails. And if you would so like, Chief.
Mr. Chair, thank you, and members of the committee, thank you for inviting me here today. As Representative House alluded to, this bill was passed in 1997, and frankly, the cost that we incur in terms of staff time in the booking process has gone up dramatically since that time. I can tell you that in 2006. We took in approximately $30,000 in booking fees. However, the cost for us to book the individuals that we did, which were almost 13,000, well exceeded $100,000. So we're collecting between 25 and 30% of the fee. Those fees that are not collected fall back under the taxpayer in the form of a property tax. We feel that an increase at this time is justified. It's a nominal amount. Again, we collect from approximately 25 to 30% of the people that are brought into Dakota County Jail. And those that are unable to pay, and not have the money, ultimately do not, which you can see from the standpoint of the number of people that we do not collect from. I would also add that one portion of the bill that, and I've talked with Representative House about this, is that the bill stipulates that those individuals that have been booked but ultimately are not convicted, we return the fee. And we're glad to do that. But the way that the law is read is that we would have to scour. It requires that we seek those people out and try to scour all 13,000 people that have been booked into Dakota County to determine whether, in fact, they were convicted is somewhat onerous to our staff. What we would ask is that that an amendment reflect upon request. We will always return the money. That's not a problem. But I think we need to have an amendment that's a little more reasonable about getting the money back to the person. The time that we would invest trying to scour through these records and return the money would far exceed any kind of relief that we're getting from the fee itself.
Representative Hawes, I believe there's two amendments. There's an A2 and an A3. Does any?
Yes.
I think Representative Coles, you said you had one of those two, or
I have the A3.
Oh, Representative Hawes,
would
you
like me to state that amendment now?
Yes, I'll move that for you.
Okay. There always is also, because in the jails you're working with a wider range of people, some with lots of dollars and some with not. And we're not trying to pile on somebody that is really in hardship and just say, watch us punish this person. You know, they just got out and they maybe took some money out of a parking meter or something, then all society will come and really jump on them hard. That's not what this is about. And so if, in fact, when they come into the jail, they have money, we're going to take that. If they're not, then the county sheriff is going to ask the judge to collect it. And the judge then, by this amendment, can determine the affordability by whether that individual can afford, is qualified for a public defender. So the amendment A3 would be in 1.2 and 1.3 on page 1, line 16. Before the period, insert, unless the offender qualifies financially for public defenders under section 611.17. So then your valve is, if he's innocent, he's not charged, or the person has qualified for a public defender, then they would not get their money. Do you want to handle these amendments one at a time?
I guess yes. But my understanding was this wasn't going to be more than 5 minutes. It looks like we're into. Is there any discussion on Representative Hawes' amendment, A3? All in favor, then say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Okay, it carries. Then there's an A2 amendment?
There's an A2 amendment, which is from the committee.
That's fine, Mr. Chair.
Oh, Representative Coles, could you explain that quickly?
Yes. Mr. Chair, members, the A2 amendment would delete subsection B, which, as I read Representative Haas' bill, provides the booking authority, the sheriff or the correctional agency, with basically unmitigated discretion to waive the fee. And from my perspective, Mr. Chair and members, it just goes a little too far. I talked with Representative Hawes while we were on the floor just a bit ago, and I understand what he's getting at here and don't necessarily disagree with his intent, but I'm concerned by the language, particularly, you know, as you look at, if you read through it, talks about whether there are any other extenuating circumstances justifying the waiver of fee or the defendant doesn't have the ability to pay. I just think the grant of discretion there is a little broader than we ought to go. I don't necessarily disagree with raising the fee here. If the counties aren't able to cover the costs, we should have that discussion, and maybe $25 is the right level. But I'm a little concerned about the breadth of Section B, and the amendment would delete that provision from the bill. I talked to Representative Hawes. I'd be willing to work with him as we move forward with this, see if there's some common ground we can come up with. But for the time being, I'd like that removed from the bill.
I can handle this amendment, and let me just tell you why it's there, however, and so maybe somewhere along the traveling. Because I do have trust in the sheriff's judgment. And if the sheriff doesn't have good judgment, we got more problems than this booking fee. And so he knows a lot of the people that he's working with. And he knows if this is going to cause a problem to the family or to the children and not to the person that you're booking, that gives that sheriff, with that intimate knowledge of those people that he's booking, some heart in the matter. But I can handle this either way.
As Representative Coles indicated, this can be also taken up in the next committee, and you can work in the meantime.
Mr. Chair, there was one little amendment here by the sheriff, and maybe you can state your amendment.
Sure.
The way the bill presently reads, or the law presently reads, is that...
Mr. Chair, we're not moving to another amendment yet, are we?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Are you wanting to move an amendment here? We have to vote on Cole's if you're going to move another amendment. I thought he was going to explain something on yours.
No.
Sorry. Representative Cole's, if there's no more discussion, then all in favor of Representative Cole's amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no.
No.
I would say that the noes have it, I believe. So that isn't adopted. Do you have a quick amendment, Sheriff?
Yep, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, the way the law presently reads, it says if a person is not charged, is acquitted, or if the charges are dismissed, the sheriff shall return the fee to the person at the last known address. And the point I was making is that in Dakota County, when you're talking about nearly 13,000 people that are charged, basically saying you have to go through all 13,000 to determine whether or not they were actually convicted. A small percentage, very small percentage, are ultimately not convicted. And what we're asking for is to insert language along the lines of upon request, so that if a person is not convicted, they can make requests to the sheriff's office and will gladly return the money.
Where is that?
On line 1.17 to 1.18, it would be a delete. The last known address to upon request of the person.
So you would delete the words at the last known address
return
listed in the booking records?
Upon their request.
So you would, the sheriff shall return the fee to the person upon their request.
Upon their
request. Does everybody understand that amendment? I've got it, I believe. It would then read, the sheriff shall return the fee to the person upon their request. Representative Holbert?
Can you tell me who would then be responsible for letting the individual know of this right?
Sheriff?
About upon request to get the money back?
I mean, you can put upon request, but if these people have no clue, they cough up their $10 or $25, they don't get charged. They're like, get my butt out of jail. They're just glad to get the heck out of there. How are they ever going to know they can get their money back?
Sure. Chair, Representative Holberg, that can easily be done at the booking process. To give them that information.
And
Representative Holberg?
And Mr. Chair, I don't want to take any more time. I know you're already compressed for time, but I would ask that the bill author work between now and the next committee and make some kind of clarification that at the time of the booking they must be notified of this right.
Thank you for pointing that out, Representative Holberg.
I think it's a good point.
I think Representative Holberg makes a good point. I hope that both the author of the bill and Representative Cole and Representative Holberg can work with you on the issues before the next committee. Okay, all in favor of this amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Okay, the noes carry by about 4-1 out of 19 votes. Then the bill is on... Is there any further discussion of the bill, or can we vote?
We're voting on that.
Okay, all in favor of the bill, the motion is to pass for passage and sending it to Representative Paymar's Finance Committee. I'm sorry, it does not go directly to his committee anymore. It goes to the overall Finance Committee. So that's the motion. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
Thank you for your
Thank you. Chris, Representative De La Forest and Representative Kahn, I guess you're both on now. Representative De La Forest, do you have House file number 189. By the way, Representative De La Forest, I hope you noticed that the first two bills we were scheduling this year in this committee were both Republican bills. This one couldn't, we had Zeller's actually as the first one scheduled.
Mr. Chairman, you're correct. I thank you for hearing this bill.
Thank you. And I'll move this bill, and the movement is for, what I'm going to move is that the recommendation is the motion is that it be passed on to Representative Atkins' Commerce and Labor Committee without recommendation, and then if they pass on it, we will hear it again here or just pass it on to the Finance Committee if they need it. So that's what we've worked out. But in today, if we can get time, we would like to get it in the order that with any amendments that you and whether it ends up with your exact bill or some amendments for the whatever the committee would like to see, we hope to go on.
Okay.
Representative De La Forest present.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Just for the record, Chris De La Forest, District 49A. I want to make clear at the outset, Mr. Chairman, again, thank you for hearing this bill. I also want to make it clear that Representative Kahn is not merely just a co-author on this bill. This is a prime example of bipartisanship. When the Republicans were in control, she was the chief author, and now that we're in the minority, I'm the chief author. I don't know how exactly that worked out.
But
I
didn't get a hearing.
Got to have the right kind of friends these days, Mr. Chairman. But in any case, I do want to make it clear that Representative Kahn isn't merely along for the ride. She has had an interest in this issue since before I came to the legislature. Mr. Chairman, real briefly, there are four reasons, essentially, why we think that this particular section of the statute should be repealed. The first and primary reason, to my mind, is that what we have when you have a willing seller and a willing buyer of a ticket to an event, this is my ticket to the 2004 NHL All-Star Game when it was here, you have offer, you have acceptance, and you have consideration, valid. And the law-trained colleagues on this committee understand that there's a contract. And currently what the statute said is that despite the fact that you have a willing seller and a willing buyer and a legitimate contract, that is still illegal. And to the best of my knowledge and Representative Kahn's, no one has ever come up with a valid explanation as to why that should be a void contract because of public policy. To take it to an example of where public policy steps in to give you a flavor of where it should be, for example, if I contracted with Representative Lilly to sell him my children, though we might have a valid contract, public policy says, no, that's a void contract, and I think we would all agree that there are good reasons for doing that. So when you have a valid contract, there's no good public policy reason for the law to step in and say that folks can't engage in this type of contract. The second reason has to do with the employment of law enforcement resources, but I'll turn the microphone over to Representative Kahn when I'm finished with my remarks, Mr. Chairman, and she can speak to that. The third reason to repeal the statute and pass the bill is the fact that what we have here, to my mind, is really a legitimate market in the same way that two people might get together to resell a baseball card, for example, or a car. And these people right now are operating underground, and I think that our economy could benefit if they weren't underground. We want these people to be out in the open. The ticket broker business is huge. Millions of dollars of revenue every year, and they're operating right here within the borders of Minnesota. Why not legitimize that market and take advantage of the expansion of the tax base that's already there? In other words, we're missing tax revenue right now by not legalizing this activity. Finally, to my mind, this is yet another area where technology and the private market have absolutely raced ahead of government. If you look closely at 609.085, this is a bill that was passed in 1963. Even Representative Kahn wasn't in the legislature yet. And the bill has not been amended since 1975. And as we know, with the Internet and other advances in technology, some of the concerns we all have, for example, about counterfeiting, the introduction of fraud into a contract, have already been addressed to a fairly great extent by the private sector. But I also want to make clear that if you repeal this law, we are not leaving consumers hanging out to dry. Without getting into details, to be respectful of the committee's time, any member of the committee can crack open, for example, Chapter 325F of our statutes, which contain rather extensive consumer protection provisions. So we are not leaving people exposed by passing this law. The Attorney General is still wields a great deal of authority in pursuing these type of fraudulent claims. In addition, again, we all know in this committee there are civil remedies as well when somebody rips you off. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to turn the microphone over to Representative Kahn.
Just 1 second. Representative Beamer, is it okay if she finishes? Yeah. Representative Kahn. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman and members, I did prepare a statement which has been put before you, which details some of my long-standing interests in this. I first paid attention to it during the 1987 World Series and introduced the bill in 1988, which actually passed the House Committee. and then got the attention of the sports teams and did not do so well, did not do so well in the Senate. But the paragraph I'd like to point out was that in 1987, on 4 days, including the playoff games, 15 police officers, this is in Minneapolis, so I was concerned about what was going on in my city, made approximately 30 arrests of ticket scalpers. During that same period, officers made 183 adult arrests for other crimes, including rape, assault, theft, and robbery. There are also 370 offenses reported, which there were no, then, of course, the difference is there were no arrests made. And it's also interesting to note that for ticket scalping, you only get arrests listed because the obvious lack of a victim to report on who the offenders are. It's also interesting, and Representative LaForest has had the same thing, experience that I've had in the past. Many people who call us to support this bill are not interested in appearing in public to testify on it. So I don't want to think that we are the only people in the state who are interested in this issue. Going to a little more recently, in 2001, when the Twin Cities were... we learned about the preparation that Twin Cities officials were undertaking in advance of the NCAA Final Four men's basketball tournament, and we got a beefed-up attempt to crack down on the rampant ticket scalping that accompanies an event like this. And Minneapolis police were planning an elaborate crackdown on ticket scalping, including sending plainclothes officers into the Metrodome bars and hotel lobbies. Again, this is it's not only wasted police activity, it's incredibly intensive police activity. And, you know, that's besides the fact that obviously this kind of rigid socialist-style control of a free market economy would be totally anathema to many of the people on this committee. You know, I'm concerned about the waste of public...
Representative Kahn, it's interesting that you say this socialist kind of control. That was the Republicans that were in charge of the legislature at that time. and I was going to ask Representative LaForest, you said Representative Kahn wasn't even here in 1963. Representative Kahn, was the Capitol here then?
You asked Representative Lynn Paulson.
Representative Hamer, you had a question?
If they're done.
I think you're done with your initial presentation, I believe.
Answer questions, if there
are. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative DeLaForest or Kahn, and I'm just curious about this. Obviously, the current statute doesn't do much to deter scalping, but I'm wondering if repealing it wouldn't exacerbate the problem by having individuals purchase more tickets and selling them at a higher rate, and so you said that this wouldn't harm the consumer, and I'm just wondering if that's been well thought out relative to how much the average fan would have to pay then for a ticket if the game is sold out and the only way to get it is on the street or in a bar.
Representative Kahn, I believe he asked you.
Well, one of the things that I said all the time is that this could very well be under control of the teams. The teams can put limits on how many tickets they sell to any individual. They have the ability to preferentially sell to people standing in line rather than people buying through the internet and so forth. You know, the basic, I think Representative DeLaForest made the basic point that this is totally obsolete. All you have to do is sit at home at your computer or go to Hudson and you can buy any ticket you want at any price you want to pay. And again, I think what you're saying is that when you take the constraints off the market, then a free market exists. And what I'm saying is that that's good. Free markets, this is the perfect Adam Smith economic philosophy. Free markets are what made this country great, as I've understood.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, I'd also add that I think Representative Paymar, what you would actually get by repealing this bill is greater protection for the consumers, because now those ticket brokers who are operating off the books and underground right now will start to have market incentives to do things like incorporate with the Secretary of State's office and sort of become legitimate. Then they have to, for example, list an agent for service of process if they get sued. So actually this bill would encourage these underground brokers who are beyond the reach of the law in most cases to become like any other corporation and thus be subject in a greater way to the laws of the state.
Representative Kalin, I believe, did you have a follow-up?
Representative Phelan, I believe you have Amendment 1-5, is that correct?
I do, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move Amendment 1-5. And
I need to see it. Representative Phelan, 1-5 is moved. Go ahead and
thank you, Mr. Chair.
Amendment.
Just a little background, actually, and I'll correct, make some verbal amendments that what we have in front of us is not, I think, the most recent result of conversation with the authors. And I have to agree, Representative DeLaForest and Representative Kahn, that it's just in the short conversation we've had about this issue, I appreciate your willingness just to engage in that in the conversation regardless of party. Motivation here is just my concern that we not remove the parts of the law, parts of the statute that actually do provide that consumer protection. And so, for the sake of clarity, I think if we look at the, if we treat it as if we're looking at the existing statute with the five elements, I'd like to retain element one, which currently is stricken, so retain the first subsection there, and then retain element two, but add before charges, add the issuer of a ticket or promoter of an event.
Where is this?
And what is currently now relabeled as number one, subsection two that reads charges for admission to an event at price greater than. I'd like to just clarify that if we were to retain number two, we would strike. Sorry, Representative.
No, Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Representative Bill,
I understand, obviously, the committee is pressed for time today, and this bill has another stop should it pass. Representative Kahn and I have both expressed no opposition to Representative Kalin's amendment. So maybe in the interest of time and to eliminate confusion, he'd be willing to get it redrafted and submit it to the Commerce Committee. We are not going to have any opposition to his amendment in the Commerce Committee, so perhaps that would help the efficient running of the meeting here today.
It's up to you, Representative Kalin.
I'm happy to do that.
If the Commerce, it will eventually come back.
Yeah. As I said, Mr. Chairman, we have no opposition to his amendment. It seems to me we can just dispose of it in Commerce Committee when they've got the time.
I'm happy to do that. I just want to clearly state the intent. Again, it's just I think the move to not waste our resources on going after ticket scalpers and interfere with that market, I think, is an honorable one, and I think we can get to that goal by repealing sections 3 and 5 and then kind of clarifying some language in 1, 2, and 4. And so to maintain that consumer protection, and we've had discussions and we'll continue to have those discussions. I'll talk with Chair Atkins and make this thing work as well. So appreciate your willingness to work together.
Mr. Chairman, we can easily work this out before
that. Is there any other amendments before our discussion of the bill? And the discussion is going to be cut off by the clock. Okay. No, is there any discussion of the bill before we vote on sending it? None? Okay. All in favor of the motion, which is to re-refer it without recommendation to the Commerce and Labor Committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carries.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Members, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The minutes of the last meeting are moved by Representative Lilly. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Meeting adjourned.